Those whose names are in the book of life. The tree of life is there. Eternity. You mean it will not end? Eternity, help me out. That's not right. I don't know why I'm not. Here we go. Did I get it? No, I need an R in there. Where? T-E-R-N. Eternity. There, I think I have it. There's no what? No charge. No charge to get there. Or no charge to enter. You know, a lot of these places where you go, you have to pay to get there, right? You have to pay to get in. Here, the price has been paid. There's no charge. In some ways, you know, you can't really find that exactly in Scripture, but it's there. The price has been paid. Price has been paid. Now, there are things we need to do on our side, obviously, to get our names in the book of life, for sure. And the list could go on, but just think about that. I'd like for us to consider this aspect over here a bit on the description of all the things that will be there. I didn't realize there were so many. You know, no death, no sorrow, no parting, no pain, no sin, no tears, no temptation, no charge. You know, all of those things, there's a lot of that there, right? That there, we have those records written in Revelation. We may not have time to turn to all those scriptures here this morning, but is this over here, this description, is that why we want to go to heaven? Just ponder that a little bit. Is there anybody else who's going to be there? Jesus is there. It's God's habitation. God dwells there. We have Scripture to tell us that the redeemed will be there. Our loved ones. Is that a blanket statement or is that a defined statement that needs clarification? I think we all realize that this one needs qualified because if we just have the understanding that, oh, everybody's going to heaven, well, then let's not even go to New York City. No need for it. But it needs to be clarified. And those whose names are in the book of life, that's very, very clear in Scripture. Is there anybody else that's going to be there? The angels, yes. Angels will be there. Do you think innocent children will be there? There was a question was once asked, well, what age are we going to be when we get there? Are the old people still going to be old? Are the young people still going to be young? Are the children still going to be babies? Or is there just, you know what? It doesn't matter. Does it? Does it really matter? It doesn't really matter. I think the older people, though, would say, well, I sure hope I could be young again there. We'll have new bodies. That's right. We'll have new bodies. Do you think that there's maybe somebody else going to be there? I think we would have scripture to tell us that maybe we'll see this person here. What do you think? Do you think we'll see Abraham there? You think Moses? All right. We'll put Moses' name up here too. I think there'll be some more there. Right out of the Old Testament. That'll be there. Will everyone be there from the Old Testament? Well, I don't know that I have all those answers, but I think those are people we're going to see there. Let me ask you this. Is heaven a real place? It's as real as New York City. It's as real as Chicago. It's not a fairy tale where people go and live happily ever after. It's not a fairy tale. Recent polls show that nearly 80% of Americans believe there is a place called heaven, and most expect to go there when they die. There is few that would say they're not going there. I think some of you might have heard a few saying something to that effect anyway. I've met a few in my own life that they're convinced they're beyond hope. They're convinced that they're going to be lost forever. But it was startling to me to think that 80% of Americans believe there's a place called heaven. Do they live that way? Are 80% of Americans living as though there's a place called heaven? And where do I fit into that picture? So, looking over on this side, looking at who's there, why do we want to go to heaven? Is it because there's no pain there? Is it because there's no suffering? Is it because there's no night? Is it because there's no tears there? Is it because I don't want to go to hell? Why do we want to go to heaven? And I find that question to be a good one for me to ponder on. A couple Saturdays ago, we were singing this song, 992, in our songbooks at home. And when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. You know, you mentioned some very notable things there, the songwriter in that song. But I had a question when I was done with that song. Why do I want to go to heaven? So that it'll be glory for me? Or is it something else that's driving the desire in my heart to be in heaven someday? And is it really going to be about me? Or you? Put your own name in there. And I'm not here slamming that song. Please get me right on that. I like to sing that song. And I was the one who chose that song. And so I enjoy singing that song. But it just struck me. Why do I want to go there? Why do I want to go to heaven? Abraham says in Hebrews 11, verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham, he was looking for this city. That's out of Hebrews 11, verse 10. And in James 1, verse 12, he says this. We know this scripture pretty well. But notice these last words in this verse. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to" who? Finish the verse for me. "To them that love him." Again, in James chapter 2, verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Again, "to them that love him." I'd just like for us to have that settle in our minds and in our hearts. Because if there's any other reason you want to go to heaven, it's going to fall short. It's to those that love him. Who? Right here. To those that love God. To those that love Christ Jesus, the Savior of mankind. If that's not our motivation for going to heaven, it's a little shallow, let's say. And I would question whether or not we're maybe going for the right reason. Maybe, while there's no charge, maybe there's no entrance for us either. While all these things, I think, are quite a blessing, and we look forward to being free from pain, we look forward to no sorrow, we look forward to all these things described here about heaven, but right here is who we're going to be worshiping, and it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself. Open your Bibles to Revelation 21. I'm going to read a number of verses here in Revelation 21. Starting to read in verse number 1 to verse 7. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's drop down to verse 21. And this is a bit of a picture of heaven on the tail end of what John saw there in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was, something we didn't write up here, but pure gold, as it is transparent glass, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Another question I had about heaven is, what for lighting is there? Now, I struggle a little bit. That's why I wear some glasses. But I struggle a little bit with the lighting sometimes that I can't see very well. And if the lights are bright, so I'm kind of concerned that we have enough light there. And what do you think? Thomas Edison won't be needed there. He won't need his inventions there. Why? Well, he invented the light bulb, and we're sitting under lights today. And, you know, if you take that back a ways, you know, they had candles and they had oil lamps. And I think in the time when Jesus was here, they would have had oil lamps and candles. That was pretty typical for their lighting. And olives as the fuel for their lamps and so forth, olive oil. And here today we are sitting under electric lights that Thomas and Edison spent many, many hours inventing. But what did it just say about the lighting in heaven? Help me out. There's no need. There is no need for what? There is no need for the sun. We have the sun shining. There's no need for the moon to shine, because there's no night there. But it says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I don't know if we can wrap our minds around that. But a being, an eternal being that is so bright, it lightens up 15,000 square acres. Amazing. Amazing. Revelation 22, verse 4 to 6 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Here's another question. What will we be doing in heaven? We have all eternity, right? I think somebody said eternity is there. For all eternity, what will we be doing? So let's turn to Revelation 19. Starting again in verse 1, reading through verse 10. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. There's our answer. What are we going to be doing? Praising our God. That's what we're going to be doing. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What's going to be the great multitude that's going to be there? And like the voice of many waters, waters are often typical and significant of people, nations. When he talks about waters, often is significant of people. There again, worship and adoration. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. There's going to be a marriage there. When we get to heaven, there's going to be a marriage there. It's going to be a little different than what we know of as marriage here on earth. But it's very similar in that that the wife hath made herself ready. There's going to be a marriage there. Do you think that 80% of the Americans are going to be there at this wedding? Think about that. I don't think that we'll see 80% of Americans there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are the guests going to be at this wedding? There's always guests at the wedding, isn't there? Typically, we have guests come to the wedding. If those who are redeemed and those who have their name in the book of life are the ones who are going to be there at this wedding, and not only going to be there, but it's the wife who has made herself ready. There won't be any distinctions of which denomination we're from, but it's those who, what? Love him. And it's those who have been redeemed by him. And it's those who have their name in the Lamb's book of life that are going to be there. And they're a part of this bride. They're going to be this wedding party. Who are the guests? Now, we don't have this fully recorded here, but don't you think the angels will be the guests? It says that the angels, they don't quite understand, or they don't quite, I'm putting it in my own words, but they don't understand redemption of mankind, because they were never fallen, not the angels in heaven. There were other angels that fell. Food for thought. What will we be doing in heaven? We also have, if you turn to Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9 through verse 17. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the 4 beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto them, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Who are they who have washed their robes? Are we one of those who have washed our robes and made them white? Here's another question for us. What if I'm not quite good enough to go to heaven? What if I'm not quite good enough? I've heard this conversation already. I had a conversation with someone some years ago. They found themselves in kind of a difficult spot because they didn't feel like they were good enough to go to heaven, but they didn't feel bad enough to go to hell. Now what? Got kind of a collision here. So, what's God going to do with all that? Not good enough to go there, to heaven. Maybe a better question would be, what does it take to get to heaven? What does it take? Does it take repentance? Does it take saving faith? Does it take cross-bearing? A denying of ourselves? Does it take the grace of God where we have power over sin in our lives? Am I still on track? Does it take obedience to the Word of God? And why is that important? Doesn't it just matter what's in my heart? Why is it important that I would have obedience to the Word of God? Thank you. If you love me, this is the result. Obedience to the Word of God. And who's going to be there? Those that love him. It's not because of all this over here, even though that's all a sidekick here. It's all the benefits. We like the benefits, don't we? The benefits are great. But it's to them that love him. And loving him spells obedience to him and to his word. And one more that I think is a part. What does it take to get to heaven? I think Jesus said it well in John 15. Abide in me, and I in you. If we don't have that abiding, where Christ is daily abiding, and we are abiding in him, he's abiding in us. It's going to take that to make it through. To make it through to the end. Yes, we need repentance. We need the forgiveness of our sins. We need that cleansing. That gets us on the right track where our relationship with God begins to go like this. And we begin to love him because of what he did for us. But it also takes that saving faith, that cross-bearing, that power over sin, that obedience to the Word of God, and that abiding in Him. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through me. Not quite good enough? No, you're not. That is the truth. But it's the truth for all of us. It's the truth for every single one of us. That no one, Paul said it this way in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That coming short is you're not going to make it. You haven't made it. We're coming short of the glory of God. None of us of ourselves are good enough. Those who will enter into heaven are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And those who still have their name in the Lamb's book of life when they draw their last breath. Did you know there's scripture to tell us that your name could be removed out of the book of life? Some people would disagree with me on that one. Oh, we can't lose our salvation once we have gained salvation. We could never lose it. You can never be unborn again, you know. And they want to use that argument. But my Bible tells me that you could have your name blotted out of the book of life. And that's a concerning thought, I think, for all of us. And there's too many ifs in God's word. If we continue in His word, if we follow, if we're faithful to God. So when we draw our last breath, let's make sure that our name is still in the Lamb's book of life. Matthew 16:24-25, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. To be faithful to God and to stay free from sin. You know, it takes a denying of ourselves and taking up our cross. Losing our life. The last question I have for us is heaven? Is heaven going to be worth it? What do you think? Is heaven going to be worth it? If it was even just all of this, whew, that's pretty powerful. But put this whole package together. To be with the redeemed, to sing the praises of God, to be of those together that love our Lord Jesus Christ and His appearing. Will it be worth it? Let me ask you this question. Would it be worth missing? Yeah. We'd be losing an awful lot, wouldn't we? What are we doing about it? What are we doing about heaven? What are we doing about our eternal soul? Are we like those people up on the streets of New York like we heard? I'm good. Not now. I want to sometime, but not now. And you know full well in your own heart you wouldn't make it if you died today. What about it? Is heaven going to be worth it? Here, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What are we going to do about heaven? We all want to go there. Are we going to be among the 80% who believe in heaven, but we don't do anything about it? And we don't live our lives like we believe it, but rather we just continue to choose our own way. in our own path. What are we going to do about heaven? We want to go there. To not go there is only one other destination. We didn't talk about that much this morning, but hell is the only other destination for eternal beings who will not choose God's way. May we choose God's way. God bless you.